This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1107, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What up, dog?
Just down the road there, our managing editor, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
And from LA, newest cast member. You know from Social Club Misfits, it's Marty.
Woo, what's going on, guys?
I like it. The woo. You wooed as your intro.
Woo. I'm testing things out right now. We're about 8 episodes in. I'm still testing things out. I'm just not
You're workshopping a woo. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Happy October, everyone. Fall is in the air. It's our first show in October.
Pumpkin spice cheesecake. Had it last night. It was delicious.
That sounds good.
Halloween's coming up.
Earth Cafe.
I wanted to talk Halloween. Emily, I thought about you.
Halloween? It's early.
On a recent weekend because... As is my family's tradition, we were watching football on Sunday afternoon, and my son and my daughter are massive fans of the Kansas City Chiefs, mainly because of Patrick and Brittany Mahomes. My son
Jackson.
Has a big Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Jackson, you know, listen, I feel I'm not going to defend that guy. But the TikTok influencer. But anyway, we're watching the Chiefs, and as most people watching the game, or maybe that weren't watching the game but saw on social media shortly after, Taylor Swift was in the house at the stadium, you know, cheering her man Travis Kelce, tight end, on as they pummeled the Chicago Bears, and it was decided quickly thereafter that our family. Couple's costume that my children had chosen prior, which was they were really pushing me to do the Ken Mojo Dojo Casa House Ken, which I the fur coat deal, and my wife to be Weird Barbie. That was quickly abandoned and decided it's got to be Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. To which, you know,
I love it.
But that seems like
you got to do a mustache. Yeah, you got to do the mustache.
I feel like you have to.
You gotta buzz your
like
head,
I'm
though.
Totally in for that.
Well, mustache.
I'm totally in for that.
So yeah, how I'm are totally you gonna do the that. Hair thing? You gonna wear like a cap or something? Like,
I'll just shave it. I'll just shave it. If I'm going, if I'm in, I'm in.
Oh wow.
If I'm in, I'm
you're
in.
Really going in.
But here's the thing, Emily. I feel like you've probably thought about this romance, this whole incident, much more than I have. Now, do you think by the time Halloween rolls around, will Travis Kelce be, because we're what, a month out,
sure.
right? In Taylor Swift relationship world, which I'm not familiar with, is he already the subject of like a hate album, or you know what I mean? Is this
point, Jesse.
Should I?
Great point.
Is this should I invest in? Should we start investing in the costumes, or should we wait? That's my question, Emily. Should we go back to Weird Barbie here for my wife?
Great question. I think by Halloween they'll still be together. I don't know the state of the relationship, but I think they'll still be together.
With her touring and him playing, there's only a handful
of
days.
She's not touring again until like November. Like she's on a break for a couple months.
So she can hang out in Kansas City?
Yeah.
But what if what happens to, because listen, this is going to age me. But there was a time when at a Dallas Cowboys game, Tony Romo
Jessica Simpson
was on the field, and they cut away to the suite, and Jessica Simpson was on there cheering him on, right? And they were in a romantic relationship, and shortly thereafter, the Cowboys went on a losing streak.
Curse.
And the Dallas Cowboys fans did a hard turn on Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs go on a losing streak here, or even lose like two games because they're very good, if
they just
like
won the championship,
the Chicago
like
Bulls
they're
in the NFL,
they're that good.
Yeah, they just won a
Super
Bowl. It
would be a real curse of the Swift.
They've won two of the last three, and we're in all three. Mm. If they lose, which I think they have a pretty tough schedule coming down the pipe here, are we going to get hate on the streets for this, Emily?
We as in the Swifties, or are you talking about your Halloween costume?
My Halloween costume. I don't. I'm not concerned
like,
about
so
the Swifties.
Should I grow
they
the
seem
mustache
like they're always
not?
Stirring
Clear
up
answer.
Some kind of drama.
He only needs about a 4 hour heads up to grow or not grow a mustache.
Yeah, yeah, I need to know if I need to invest
Jesse, you
in
keep the hair, but get the mustache, but just wear a little, wear the hat. That's it. You're good. Your hair looks cool. Just keep the mustache.
Yeah.
Wear a Chiefs hat. You don't need
it. It is funny that you brought up Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson, because I think I saw a tweet that was saying this is like the Gen Z version of Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson, which I think is very funny.
That's awesome.
Considering neither Taylor Swift nor Travis Kelce are Gen Z, but okay.
Well, yeah, but
they're both 33.
Still,
yeah.
They're very relevant.
But that generations.
Yeah. Well, it's weird to say millennial, because Jessica and Tony, I think, are considered millennials. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they like absolutely won on Sunday. So, but I've also heard that the Bears are a pretty easy team to beat. So, no offense to any.
They are. They're terrible. their defensive coordinator quit midweek. You know the team's bad when by week three, the defensive coordinator is walking off the job and Justin Fields, the quarterback, they ask, what do you think the offenses, what do you think the struggles have been? And he literally in a press conference goes, coaching.
Oh, like for real?
The Chicago Bills are a hot trash fire. So I don't want Swifties to get too excited just yet, because
that's tough right there. To have a whole city hate you, Jesse, by what you just said, that's going to be rough.
And it's Chicago.
They'll go down with the fire. They're called Titanic fans.
No, you know what they're going to say? You know what they're going to say? They're like, my dude's right. My dude is hard. Call up Sam Acho, our buddy who played for the Bears. He'd be like, no, you're right. The team's a trash fire right now. I have no qualms. But all I'm saying, but my point is this, Emily, are you nervous that, you know, she could have watched the game from home, but she
with
was there in the suite
with
front
guy's
center.
Mom.
With his mom.
Yeah. With Mrs. Donna Kelce.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce is a very prominent figure in, you know, him and Jason have a very popular podcast. It's
number one in the world right now.
Jason, his brother for the Eagles, has a docuseries on Amazon Prime Video on the way. These are prominent figures. She could have stayed behind and watched at home, right? Mm-hmm. But no, she was there in the suite. You know, this was a very prominent thing. Are you nervous about what if the tides turn for the Chiefs here? This seems like a pretty high stakes gamble for Taylor.
If it comes down between NFL fans versus Swifties, I think the Swifties got them beat. Like, Swifties are vicious. So I'm not nervous about any backlash for her, because I think she'll be fine.
She'll probably buy the team and then just cancel it. Because she's so wealthy and influential. She's like, I don't want to do it anymore. Stadium's over. It's all over, guys.
Here's the thing. I'm looking at their schedule. Taylor Swift may be a genius if she's leading this into everyone wants a Halloween costume. Their next opponents are the Jets, another massive trash fire.
Okay.
The Vikings, who are 0-3. And then the Broncos, who just had 75 points hung on them. 70. She may be an NFL schedule genius.
Mastermind.
She may have picked the perfect time. She literally looking at their schedule.
Because they're going to go on a winning streak now.
And blowing teams out.
And it's going to be because of Taylor that they're doing so well. So she'll be even more loved. Yeah. No, I don't know. I think this is...
She's a premeditated mastermind.
This is one of the most fun relationships that she's ever had for me, like as a fan to watch her, because it's like... I think what's funniest is I'm obviously seeing like Swifties posting about it just like because my social media algorithm. And the funniest thing is watching Swifties ask like, guys, how does anyone play football? Like they're trying to understand how football works because they are like, I guess we have to be into this now. And what's really funny is people will comment saying like, oh, yeah, he's a tight end, which is basically like a quarterback. And then people commenting, no, if it was basically a quarterback, he'd be a quarterback. Like they don't actually know what they're talking about. And it's really funny
to
watch.
I need to start following some Swifties.
Funny. We're having a great time.
I know this is hilarious, right?
It's so funny. And everyone's like, I guess we're football fans now. Like, we're going to have to go to the Super Bowl. And it's like, no, you don't. Like, it's just so funny.
It's going to be a bunch of Gen Z girls with
if the Chiefs go to
Taylor
the Super Bowl
Swift
again.
Shirts just at the Super Bowl. It's going to look totally different.
Yeah, if the Chiefs go to Super Bowl,
be like pumpkin spice lattes and stuff everywhere.
And I love it. I want the Swifties to take over. And so if they take over NFL, it's pretty great.
No.
Are you now a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, Emily?
Sure. No, I still like, I do like the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I grew up in Dallas. So for the longest time, I genuinely thought my dad would always tell me that he's the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan. He would always tell me that the Cowboys were God's team. And I genuinely thought that was like their motto for the longest. Like I really thought that was they're like, yeah, we're God's team. And then I realized, like, that's just my dad telling me that.
You know why that started? It's because their old stadium, before this new AT&T billion-dollar one, whatever, their old stadium famously had shade over all the but the middle, field was cut out, like a hole in the stadium. And they said that was so God could watch the game.
Yeah.
And because it was God's
But I thought that was, like, genuinely, like, I low-key believe. I was like, oh, I guess God really loves the Cowboys or something.
That's a wild statement.
Dude. I missed that verse, but
that's wild.
Yeah. You know. It seems like he would intervene more for them. But
Jerry Jones is a genius. America's team, God's team. He's like, yo, America and God? Look, there's no way you're going to lose if you can beat both of those people's.
All right, well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Jackie Hill Perry. She's got a new book coming out that we talked to her about. We also have a game at the end of the show. It is themed to what we just talked about. Travis Kelce, very famously over the last few months, publicly shot his shot with Taylor Swift, and it landed. So we have a game at the end of the show called The Shot Heard Round the World. But stay tuned right now. Up next, it slices. You're listening to Richie Quake and Anna Shoemaker. The song is Crawl.
Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant.
Okay, it's time for...
Slices!
What do you have, Jesse?
All right, I have a very disturbing story for everyone, and I need theories. I want to go around the table, starting with Marty, on theories on this. There was a YouTube video that I stumbled upon, and everyone can go watch it if they Google bicycle carved 2000 years ago. Okay. It's a video of a guy who's going on a tour of like a temple in India, right? It's like an old religious temple with carvings, and they know for certain that this temple dates back to 2000 years ago. Okay. Now the only problem with, keep in mind, 2000 years ago, that's roughly the time of Christ is when this temple was constructed and the carvings on the walls were put there. Okay. He finds a carving on the interior of this temple of a dude riding a bicycle. Okay. The bicycle was invented in the 1800s, right? And you might be thinking like, oh, is it like a shape of a guy on top of two wheels? My dude in the carving is riding like a Schwinn. It has handles like a bike. It has pedals and two wheels. It is a dude riding a bicycle, okay? It is not like hieroglyphic shapes that looks like a guy riding a bicycle. No one knows how it got there. How did a guy riding what is clearly recognizable as a bicycle that was invented, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years later after this carving, how was it carved in the temple? The only theory that has been proposed, and I saw this actually in the newspaper, The Hindu. It's The Hindu. It's a big story over there in India right now. Is that, you know, there's speculation that there was the temple did undergo some renovations in the 1920s. But, you know, to think that maybe someone carved it in the 1920s that was renovating it, what would possibly be their motivation for carving one random carving of a dude on a bicycle?
For conversation.
How did
conversation. I mean,
but he could have carved anything. Why? So you're a construction worker in the 1920s. That's like, hey, we got this ancient temple and we're bringing your crew in and you're going to somehow get away with carving a dude, just randomly a dude on a bicycle. Doesn't make any sense. It seems like this carving was carved 2000 years ago, but it clearly shows a guy on a bike. Tell me.
I think Cameron explained it in
you
the
guys
chat.
Explained
like
it
in the
to
chat
me,
right
it's
now.
Blowing
just
my
explained
mind.
It.
I just said you.
It's a clickbait article.
Snopes.com, dude. Just scroll down. A chunk of the temple, the 7th century it was built, and then about in 1920, it was like part of it was renovated, and this is probably where a sculptor
saw a guy on a bicycle too.
And was impressed.
But
and whatever.
Even then, the guy who said that, the guy who said that it could have been part of the renovation, came back and said, you know, we have no evidence that this happened. This is only speculation on what could have happened.
Right, which makes way more sense than them doing it 2,000 years ago.
Because Egyptians, we know that Egyptians had electricity in some shape, form, or fashion. They had electricity. So it's not far-fetched that our idea of us discovering something is not when it was actually discovered.
Yeah, and put yourself in this temple getting renovated. Like I said, you got a construction crew in there. Hey guys, what's the job? We're gonna you know, the foreman. You don't think he would notice one of his workers with a hammer and chisel randomly carving a dude on a bicycle, randomly defacing the temple they were hired to renovate? It makes no sense.
Your outrage is amazing.
It seems like
right now. This
bicycle was carved 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, like
I'm just
like
saying,
literally,
the Snopes explanation makes almost no. You're telling me that the foreman of the construction crew didn't see one of his workers randomly going rogue,
but
you're acting like
they were going rogue. What if they weren't going rogue? What if they were like they made that choice together? Like this would be cool. Like for example, the temple has all the stuff from 2,000 years ago, and these people are saying we should do things from our time. So history will remember our time
if that's the case, why wasn't, because if it's a temple and we take, humans take religion very serious, you know, I guess I'm taking the side of my conspiracy theory, brother.
Finally.
So if this is a
yes,
temple,
humans take things very serious,
right? Why would they not say, hey, and in this section, we added this. And in that section, that was added. When you go to any temple and there's like historical stuff that's in the temple and like things like that, there's always documents of when it changed. Even when you think about your church, oh, that was donated by sister and mother so-and-so back in 1906. So you don't tell me that they just, a bicycle just appeared in the temple and nobody categorized it.
All I know is that a couple of years ago at Joel Osteen's church, they found $20,000 in the back of a toilet. So I know that sometimes people do weird things and weird things happen. And so we can't, you know, people just do things like that.
Nah, I'm not buying it.
My whole point is like, was this just, so you're telling me some construction worker from the 1920s who's paid to renovate this thing decided just to troll people by, I know what I'm going to do. Just don't tell anyone. I'm carving one dude
again,
on a bicycle.
It's a craftsman.
So. Here's the thing, Jesse. They don't have unions back then. People were like, hey, just leave. Leave whenever you want. And some guy was like, you know what? I'm doing this for my son. This is my son on a bike. And then he died. It caved in on him. Yeah, he kept doing it. It was like that one movie with what's that movie in jail with the guy with the Shawshank Redemption, you know, like little by little,
Shawshank Redemption?
The pink spoon, not the full sundae. Just little by little, he was peeking down. He covered it with a poster of Marilyn Monroe, Jesse. That's what you were saying in the story. He kept covering with a poster, so no one knew.
Cameron, I'm going to do a modern-day equivalent of what you're suggesting is the answer here. I am a carpenter, okay? Mm-hmm. And a Renaissance museum that has Renaissance paintings in there goes in and pays me to go do some carpentry, to you know, for the exhibits. I decide at random that I am going to, next to these Renaissance works of art, do a replica style picture of a guy on a jet ski and put it right next to all these Renaissance paintings and just be like, well, I know this wasn't part of the scope of work, but I figured I had to do an artifact from my time. This is a jet ski.
Okay, but see, logically, Okay. Mm-hmm. This temple had carvings depicting life 2,000 years ago, and then they do a renovation on this part of it, and they wanted craftsmen to come in and then in the same style show their era of life.
And then they forgot about carvings. It. They forgot to tell people they did that.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like so it's a local craftsman, and then people just forgot about it, or they didn't think it was odd because they knew what it was.
So they forgot about something that happened in the 1920s to a temple that's a prized possession that they actually had renovated. They forgot.
I have to agree with Ken. Here's my thing.
Or the foreigners are idiots.
People with conspiracy theories think people, as humans, are smarter than they are. We're not that smart. We do stuff like that. We graffiti on the wall and we leave. And
so Derek, Marty, the church. Derek. So the church. Let's keep it real. All right. So let's go to church, right?
Yep.
So the church that you grew up in, right? All of a sudden, you came in there, and there was a painting of a spaceship on the back wall, and everybody just forgot about it.
Or the locals didn't, and it took a foreigner to come in and shoot a YouTube video.
There's no documentation of it. It's not 500 years ago.
So you telling me the camera person did not think, man, let me ask the local people that go to this church.
Yes, I think YouTubers are that stupid.
This is not a YouTube video. This is an actual documentary.
Again, this was in India, right? I can't put a lot of bank in the way that they possibly historically documented this. We don't know what happened. There's people that could have went in. There's cave guys who go into caves and search things on YouTube and TikTok, and they do stuff like that. Someone just went to Italy and they carved their name, Jesse and like Julio.
This was a renovation. Let's see. I got the new. Okay, it looks like the structural work was done. We got the new hallway carved. Oh, I see Frank carved the random bicycle guy we asked for. All right, here's the check. Great work. No, it makes no sense. No.
It makes more sense than
does it make
2,000 year old.
It's a mystery.
All right, what do you have, Derek?
All right, y'all know I'm from Michigan, right?
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm from Pontiac, Michigan. That's where I was originally born. And one thing people, when they think Michigan, most of the time people just think Detroit. They just think city, like Michigan's just one big city. But actually, for the most part, Michigan is country. Actually, if you're a hunter, some of the best hunting is up there in Michigan because it's so cold. The bucks and they get big, animals get bigger, and you're going to find some crazy animals up there. Well, there's a lady who was camping, I think. Would it be camping? Yeah. So there's a lady that's out here camping, and there was an outhouse out at the campsite, and she got stuck in the outhouse, like in the toilet of the outhouse.
A top fear of mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because she, first of all, why is that, a top fear of yours?
I can't think of anything worse than being
in
Roman
Empire, Emily.
That's
your
Roman Empire, Emily. I avoid them because I don't want to get stuck in there.
I've never seen an outhouse, nor have I been in one. But this lady
definitely been in one.
Dropped her Apple Watch in the toilet and decided to go discover how to grab it out. Yikes. And she got stuck, so they had to come in and actually grab. So you know, first,
she crawled down into the poop hole. She got into it.
At that point, you just get a new Apple Watch.
Wow. You just get a new Apple Watch.
Yeah, I'm going to. So there's a warranty still available.
State police have said if you lose an item in an outhouse toilet, do not attempt to venture inside the containment area. Serious injury may occur. So, ma'am, I just so you wouldn't have went in the outhouse toilet, I'd have just gave you an Apple Watch. I got one here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got one
generation
here.
One, but it works.
It works. I don't want you to die or swim in. That's bad, baby. I'm sorry.
You got pink eye for the next decade.
Do you think she fell
that.
Face first?
I mean, if you're leaning down into it and reaching.
Yeah, right. Or did she like fall like on the, like, I just want to know how big that hole was. Like, was she like doing the one arm thing, stretching out?
Yeah, she got stuck. Yeah. She got stuck in it. Like,
I'm assuming she did get the Apple Watch though. Cause did she call the police on her Apple Watch?
No.
Like, cause how did they know she was stuck in it?
I wonder if she was stuck upside down, like she's reaching in and she just couldn't.
Oh, man.
She
like
couldn't
sludge,
back out.
Feet hanging out?
No, feet. Oh. Yeah, feet hanging out, arm feet down. In the air, she's digging in there and maybe her.
Dang.
Yeah, she's. Yeah. Oof.
So, pro tip, don't go in an outhouse. And number two, don't. Right. If you lose your Apple Watch, It's okay.
It's not worth it.
A wrap.
When you're at like a music festival, do you use porta potties, Emily?
All the time.
It's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Pretty awful.
What's the difference?
I've lost things in those.
What have you lost in a porta potty?
I lost this Supreme red bottle, and I was going to the bathroom, and I was drinking it, and I don't know what had happened, but it like hit my chest and fell, and I was like, man, like I'll never get this back.
Room drinking.
I was just wondering if I drink it would ever stop. I'm just kidding. No, I think I just dropped the bottle and it like hit and it like did like this awesome bounce and it just fell in. And I remember thinking to myself, like, someone's going to look at the inside of this toilet and they're going to see like a red Supreme bottle hanging out. It was a pretty sad day for me.
And then later on, a lady was stuck trying to reach in and get it.
She saw the Supreme bottle.
She got an Apple Watch and a water bottle.
Was the Apple Watch even hers or was it someone else's?
She had to get it because it was like her son's. And she's like, I'm not buying him another one. I'm not doing it.
Nah.
Lady, if you're hearing this, Derek Minor will help you. He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to get filthy.
He'll just give you an Apple Watch.
He'll give you an Apple Watch. There's other options here.
We'll start it, $200, people.
We'll do a GoFundMe, for real. Straight up.
All right, what do you have, Marty? Hands.
No big deal. All
right, I have a story that is Tarantino-level insane. By the first two words, you're going to know where I'm going to take this. Florida man rescued again. So he wasn't rescued once. He's rescued again while attempting to cross Atlantic in a floating hamster wheel. Now, as I tell you this story, it's going to fall apart. So I just want you to be prepared to know that this story is a straw man story. It's going to fall apart. All right. A Florida ultra marathoner and a peace activist. So just remember that. We're going to follow back at the end of the story. His name is Ray Bellucci. Intercoastal stunt ended. He was 60 miles in this hamster wheel air bubble in the middle of the water. They see him on the coast of the U.S. Guard sees him on the coast of Georgia. And, you know, they're just trying to do their job. They're trying to prepare for a hurricane. And they see this guy and he's 51 years old. He's in this hamster wheel and he's in the middle of the ocean. And they're like, hey, what's going on there, pal? And you know what he does? He goes, hey, if you get closer, I'm going to stab myself. That's his first response. This is the peace protester.
Oh, my goodness.
So the officer stayed with him for 3 days, and they said, they're trying to negotiate. They're bringing negotiators around. He eventually says, listen, if you keep going, I'm going to, like, electrocute myself. Like, he keeps, like, threatening to hurt himself if they rescue him, this guy. So this is the peace activist. By the way, this costed $140,000 to everyone on that side of the coast to rescue the man. And you know what? I was like, maybe he's a peace activist. Like maybe he's standing for something, you know, like, I don't know, like global warming. His website says that his mission in life is showing the world that anything is possible if you only believe. I know for a fact we're going to cut this out the episode, I'm not going to say what I'm about to say, but I'll just say this.
We know.
Sometimes there are some certain people that I know this type of character, but anyway, he's in a hamster wheel. He goes in the water 60 miles out. They try to stop him.
He was trying to go to Europe.
He threatens to shock himself.
Trying to run across the Atlantic.
And he's just trying to raise awareness that anything is possible, which is a very odd request since he said he's going to stab himself. You know what? Here's the oddest part of the story. You know how this all started? He was at a magic game and he proposed to his girlfriend. She said no. I'm just kidding. No, that's not true. That's not how it started. He was in front of Cameron and he said no. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to win my girl back if I go in the water and just no. But this Florida man, he got caught twice by being in a hamster wheel. He rigged it up so that he could go long distance. And he was like, he had his Logitech controller on him. So he figured he could go across the water. But long story short, it cost us all. Taxpayer $140,000. Pretty crazy, guys. Pretty. Wow. Florida man does it again, guys.
Apparently, we love Florida. Apparently, it's illegal to run.
He was trying to go to India.
A hamster wheel to Europe. To India. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
He wanted to see what the cave was
all about. Well, that'll do it for
Slices.
All right. Stay tuned. Up next, Jackie Hope Perry joins us. You're listening to the Undercover Dream Lovers. The song is Sink or Swim.
She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell-all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith, right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun, by Sister Monica Claire, is available now wherever books are sold.
Well, our guest today is Jackie Hill Perry. She's a speaker and author who's released books like Gay Girl, Good God, and Holier Than Thou. She joins us to talk about how our lives can change tremendously by spending just a little bit of time with God, how understanding God's grace has changed her view of everything, and why releasing her latest book of devotionals is a little bit ironic, since she told us, yeah, she's not really a devotional person. Here's our conversation with Jackie Hill Perry.
Yeah, I'm not a devotional person at all. And never really was. And I think it's many reasons for it. One is they come across kind of shallow sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I prefer subject matter or books that allow me to think, you know, and process and go deep, whether that's about scripture, whether that's about life, whether that's about what's happening. And so I think the shallow nature of devotionals makes me kind of like, but some of the older ones that I've read, whether that's from Charles Spurgeon, Oswald Chambers, even a few newer ones, I think when there's a level of like, no, this person thought very deeply about what they're putting together and they're not trying to give me a resource that has me starting the day by thinking about me, but they're giving me a resource that has me thinking about me in light of what God has revealed about himself in the scriptures, that's a game changer. So I just kind of wanted to replicate that kind of, you know, focus.
You know, the book is called Upon Waking because, you know, the idea is that people would, you know, read it at the start of their day. I'd love to know why do I have to read this at the start of my day?
You don't have to, but I do think it's ideal that the first person that we speak to and that we learn from and that we hear about is the Lord. You know, like it's so easy for us to begin our day with our calendar as the first person we listen to, or social media as the first person that we look at, or even our own minds as the first person that we meditate on. And I think there's a sense in which that feels efficient, right? To begin our day with fleshly things. But I don't think it's actually edifying to our souls. I think we need him. We need his life. We need his wisdom. And we just need to be with him. We were created for him, to delight in him and to know him. And so I think if you were in a marriage and you kept getting up every morning and not talking to your spouse, that would not be a healthy marriage. But we're married to God. And how often do we also function in our relationship with God in that way? And so I think in a very practical way, if you want to build a relationship with God, I think he should be the first person that you meet with when your morning starts.
It's so interesting to hear that, knowing myself and knowing how terrible of a morning person I am, but also knowing mm-hmm. that the mornings when I do get up and I do talk with God, it something about the day always seems to go a little bit better, not necessarily easier, but yeah. A bit better.
Yeah. And I think we put too much weight also on what that looks like. Right. Mm-hmm. And so by saying beginning my day with God doesn't necessarily mean again, okay, let me get my King James Version and my commentaries. And it really could just be instead of on my drive to my work, instead of listening to a podcast, or instead of having a conversation with my best friend, it's I'm going to turn the radio off and talk to the Lord. It's those things, like how in the normal rhythms of life, how can I remember God instead of considering everybody else? I think it's really practical when you look at it that way.
I feel like even with devotionals, though, like or really not even just devotionals, but with quiet time in general, sometimes we can feel like it's just like a checklist thing. Like even like you said, if it's like, mm-hmm. oh, I have to make sure I talk to God today, you know, like a checklist. So what are some ways we can make sure we get out of that mindset and really get the most out of our time with God.
That's great, man. Because it's really it's a big theological problem that's actually happening. It's you are believing that your devotional life makes you righteous before God, rather than your devotional life being an overflow of the righteousness that you already have in Christ, right? And so if I am already right with God, already justified with God, already in Christ because of his work on the cross and all the things, then I have the freedom to know God loves me even when I don't do my devotionals. God cares for me even when I don't pray for longer than 10 minutes. God sees me even when I forgot to say hi to him, right? Like that doesn't mean we don't work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but it also means that, man, like, it's still him who is working in me to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so I think that theological basis kind of sets you free to know, like, oh man, like, you love me even when I don't love you like I should love you. And so let me love on you. Let me read this word and let me pray and let me delight in your son. And so I lived under the weight and the burden of that kind of like legalism for so long, where I just felt like nothing was good enough for God. And so I read incessantly and I tried to pray as much as possible, but it was a joyless work because I was trying to live according to the law instead of resting in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now it's like, I see it with a different lens. It's like, hey, at the end of the day, Christ died for me and nothing I do is good enough, but his work was good enough. And so now that I'm reading because I love him, not because I'm trying to earn something.
How has your life shifted since kind of making that change?
I have more peace. You know, I went to a church early in my Christian life that really emphasized spiritual disciplines, but they emphasized spiritual disciplines, God's justice, and never really talked about God's grace, God's love of us, what Christ did. Like, it was like, Jesus died for you so you wouldn't be a sinner. But they didn't emphasize that Jesus, in Jesus's death, he also filled me with his spirit to help me and to comfort me, right? Like he's like my friend too, not just Lord. And so I didn't have any peace. And I was extremely self-righteous because of it. Because when you live under the law and you try to do all the right things, then it's easier for you to look down at other people that don't live according to the standard that you live by. And so I also wasn't a loving neighbor. I also wasn't a gracious minister. And so all of that affected everything. And so now I think in my life, I have this peace and this security. And that doesn't mean I don't wrestle. But there is a security that I have in knowing that, like, no, regardless of everything, I'm not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. And I am I'm like his servant. And like, he sees me, loves me, all the things. And at the same time, because I'm not Jesus, I can't look at nobody else. I have to get the plank out of my own eye so I can even serve other people well. And so I feel like even my ministry is kind of overflow of me seeing people as people, you know, that we all need the Lord and that we all need grace.
Do you feel like you're still working through that, or do you feel like you've kind of worked through enough? I don't know.
I think legalism shows up differently for me now. And so I think now it's, oh, I know his word. I know how to, you know, interpret a text. Look at me, I'm being useful, right? And so thinking that my effectiveness in ministry and my ability to do certain spiritual disciplines well in a way that's also affirmed, feeling like that makes me sufficient as if I'm still not as needy, right? And so that there's still this diabolical pride that raises up and being like, nah, sis, like I get you're secure in Christ, but you still need me. And so there's a dependence that I think, like legalism just, it uproots the neediness that I think the Holy Spirit is trying to cultivate in us. And so it just shows up differently for me now.
That was Jackie Hill Perry. Make sure to check out her new devotional, even if you don't like devotionals. And for more of that conversation, make sure to go check out the rest of it at relevantmagazine.com. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's The Shot Around the World. You're listening to Rat Bag. The song is Rats in My Walls.
Wow. Rough. Wow.
Wow.
That's my second biggest fear.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Okay, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about Travis Kelce shooting his shot publicly, talking about, I'm going to give Taylor Swift a friendship bracelet. I would love, He publicly courted her. And then magically she shows up at a Chiefs game and it worked. The guy shot his shot. It landed. The shot heard around the world. So we have a game about shooting your shot. All right. This is a trivia game. I'm going to give you multiple choice. The three guys will go against each other. Emily wrote the game, so she can't play. But you can keep score, Emily. All right. Marty, you're up first. Here we go. How many calories are in a shot of vodka? 22, 43, 97, or 119?
And a shot of vodka, I'd probably say the lowest number, A.
97 calories.
I was wrong. 100, wow.
It's 100 calories for a shot of vodka. Okay, Derek, we've all heard it's seemingly easy to shoot fish in a barrel. How far can a bullet travel underwater before it's ineffective? Is it 3 feet, 6 feet, 9 feet, or 12 feet?
I'm going to go 6.
6 feet is correct. Mm-hmm. Have you seen, I saw that on Mythbusters one time. They were like shooting into a water, like how do you escape if you're like running away from a guy who's shooting at you? Mm-hmm. And they dove into the water and they like measured before the bullet disintegrates. And it's
someone was in the water and someone was shooting at them to see.
Well, they were,
they were shooting at a person.
Well, yeah, it was like the dummy. The dummy got hit, 3 feet? And was not fatal or anything because it was like so weakened at that point. But anyway.
Some John Wick action.
Jesse, it's flu season, which means it's time to get a shot in the arm. How many Americans get a flu shot each year? Is it 33 million, 85, 149 million, or 173 million people getting a flu shot every year?
173.
That is correct.
Wow.
Boom.
That's only 50%.
Half of America.
Virology.
I was thinking that's 50%. Like, that's a good thing. I don't know. Mm. Okay, end of round one. We got 1-1, right?
1-1, yeah. Marty has 0.
Usually win these things, but I don't know what's happening, you guys.
Marty, here we go. Which of these celebrities had a shotgun wedding in Italy while pregnant with twins? Was it Beyonce and Jay-Z? Was it George and Amal Clooney? Was it Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony? Or was it Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick?
I'm going to say that it's going to be the second one.
George and Amal Clooney is correct.
I knew it. Yeah, I knew it.
Shotgun wedding.
That was a good one.
There you go.
He's also like, shotgun wedding for him is Italy. That's how crazy he is. It's not Vegas like what we would assume, Atlantic City, Orlando, Cam.
Right.
It's Italy.
Yeah.
It was funny because as I was looking up stuff, I was looking up like celebrity shotgun weddings. A lot more than you'd think. Like, I didn't, there was like lists.
They're
of
passionate
like
people, creatives.
25. I think my favorite were the ones, not the favorite, this sounds bad, but like the ones where you would see, like, they got married and then like 3 months later, divorced. So it was like
Brittany.
She was 55 hours.
All right, Derek, what's the longest distance a sniper has shot a shotgun and hit its target?
Shotgun?
Yeah, a gun. Like, shot a gun, a bullet,
all the,
at a
the
target.
Okay, so Derek.
Shot a sniper rifle. Okay, shot a sniper rifle.
So, 5,280 feet is a mile. So, I'm just going to give you ballpark numbers here, okay? So, just thinking about a mile. So, is it 6,000 feet, 12,000 feet, 18,000 feet, or 23,000 feet?
I like 18,000.
23,000 feet, 4.4 miles.
Wow. That's crazy. 4 miles. That's crazy.
That's a long distance.
It's a very long distance.
Yeah.
I shot one
from 1.5.
Miles?
I hit a target from 1.5. Yeah, wow. With a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, and you hit the target?
They have to... Yeah, I've too multiple times. They have to. It's a team of people, and they're like literally dialing in the curvature of the Earth.
Yep.
And they like, yeah, it's crazy because you can't see it.
Yeah,
you can't see.
That's
the
terrifying.
They have a spotter and stuff. Yeah. Here we go, Jesse. What NBA player has the highest true shooting percentage? Is it Rudy Gobert, Michael Jordan, DeAndre Jordan, or LeBron James?
Name them one more time. Sorry.
Rudy Gobert, Michael Jordan, DeAndre Jordan, or LeBron James. Highest true shooting percentage.
Well, I think this is a trick question because you're thinking outside shooter, but it's actually because someone plays right by the rim because they get a lot of putbacks. So I'm going to go Rudy Gobert.
Wow. That is correct. Yep.
On fire.
Okay, thank you for explaining that, because when I was looking this up, I was looking up different like trivia facts about basketball, and I was like, I don't know what it means by true shooting. Like...
Yeah,
because
really all he's
stupid.
Doing is dunking. He's just dunking
exactly.
And
he's right there.
And 10 footers.
Wait, so these are... Okay, interesting. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, the distance is so short. Yeah, he's going to have a high percentage.
All right, Marty, who was the first player to have 4 buzzer beaters from more than 20 feet? Was it Jerry West, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan?
Super easy. It's Jerry West. I have no idea. I haven't watched basketball in like 7 years. I have no idea. I thought Michael Jordan still played for the Wizards. I don't know what's going on.
Wizards?
The Wiz. Yeah.
Derek.
Butchered this guy.
What is this? He's not going to know this. What is the standard speed of a shooting star? Is it 120,000 miles an hour, 220,000 miles an hour, 460, or 740,000 miles an hour?
What?
The standard speed of a shooting star.
Alright, we'll go with B.
No, A. 120.
You're giving Derek all the shooting questions. Right. I don't get it. How far is a sniper? How the 6 feet with the gun?
Alright, Jesse. What episode of The Office did Michael Scott steal the phrase, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take," from Wayne Gretzky? Was it Hot Girl, The Michael Scott Paper Company, Fun Run, or Money? Episode.
I think it was pretty early on in the series, and so I'm going to go Hot Girl.
Michael Scott Paper Company.
He's starting his own company.
Own company. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Derek has one. Marty has one. Jesse has two.
Okay, Marty, which famous TV show features a character named Ari Gold?
Entourage.
Who was a big shot.
One of my favorite
agent.
Shows, baby.
Entourage.
One of the best shows.
Okay.
Shut Entourage. You guys, he's a real person. His name is Ari Schaefer.
Wait, so
he's
just giving
he's
a
real person.
A
he's a good looking guy. He's crazy. He's like 6 foot. He looks like a celebrity. I've seen him in person. I'm like, whoa.
Let's go. Softball question.
All right, Derek, what's the furthest someone has been shot out of a cannon?
Oh,
is it 75
God.
Feet, all right. 130 feet, 195 feet, or 450 feet?
I like this one.
Dang.
All those seem low to me.
They just 195. Can't get out of my head.
195 is correct.
Yeah, there we go.
Whoa!
Talk
so nice with it.
Jesse, all right, you can win it here, Jesse, or lose it. It's a big fear that you might accidentally shoot yourself in the foot. Apparently, Emily has that fear as well. If you wanted to prevent yourself from doing that, what footwear that came out in 2014 would you need to purchase? Is it the Kevlar shoe, the indestructible shoe, the steel-toed running shoe, or the bulletproof boot?
I mean, I'm going to go... seems like I'm going to go Kevlar here.
Kevlar shoe is correct. You win the game.
And that's 6 points.
Yes. What does he win, ladies and gentlemen? An NRA discount card. For all these shooting questions.
All right. Well, if you learned anything on this show, it's to shoot your shot. And one day, Taylor Swift might be coming to cheer you on, kids. Never.
It also
never
helps
give
if you're the
your
Chiefs tight end, I will say.
Yeah. Oh, that's why all the questions were shooting, because it was shoot your shot.
Travis Kelce shot
idiot.
A shot.
I just realized that right now. I'm like, why are all these questions like guns and stuff? Now I get it.
He shot a shot.
Sponsored by the NRA. All right.
Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank again Jackie Hill Perry for joining us today. Make sure to check out her book of devotionals. It's called Upon Waking. It's available today. Also, a couple updates. Make sure to head over to relevantmagazine.com and check out Relevant Plus. It's the best way to experience our content. You get ad-free, unlimited viewing and listening and reading. You get unlimited access to all of our magazine content and articles at the site. You get an ad-free version of this podcast. You get a special subscriber podcast as well. And more coming throughout the year. Plans start as low as $250 a month, and it's the best way to get our content. Go check it out. If you want to make sure you don't miss anything, follow us on all the socials. We're either Relevant or Relevant Magazine on all the platforms. And if you want to, if you're not a social media person and you just want to get our best content sent to you, go over to the website and sign up for our daily newsletter. It's our top five trending stories sent to your inbox every weekday morning. It's a great way to stay in touch. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap it up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm proud NRA Marty from the... Okay.
All right, we will see you on Friday. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Are we going to get hate on the streets for this, Emily?
Relevant Podcast Network.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.